This is HPR episode 2059 entitled, More Tech, Less Magic. It is hosted by first-time host Todd Mitchell and is about 17 minutes long. The summary is, More Tech, Less Magic.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everybody, my name is Todd Mitchell. This is my first contribution to HPR. I'm an independent game developer as well as a freelance game industry journalist. I used to be a professional software engineer at a major industrial engineering firm, but more recently I left all that behind to work independently and take care of my son. I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about technology today, and how it's changing life, especially childhood, for better and for worse. This is especially true if you're a gamer, but I'm going to try to tie this into things you can relate to, even if you aren't into video games. My son still isn't quite 2 years old, but he's already getting interested in playing video games. I don't sit at the Xbox for hours in front of him or bury myself in Tetris on the phone, but Daddy works with video games. Our house definitely reflects that. There's an Xbox 360 next to the living room cable box. There's an Xbox One next to a Wii U on my office desk. I have Steam on my dual-booted MacBook Pro with hundreds of games in the library, let alone the vintage equipment in the basement. I've taken apart a USB Super Nintendo-style controller to cut the cord out from the inside, then reassemble it and give it to my son to play with. He understands controllers and touch screens and explodey sound effects, and he wants in. When we decide we're ready, that's really no problem. Think of how easy it is to grow up a gamer now. On Thanksgiving Day, we took advantage of an Amazon sale and bought my son a Fire tablet for well under 50 bucks. We bought a big kid-proof case for it, and I figured I would find some baby-friendly number and letter-type software for him, or even create some of my own. Even thinking about that turned out to be a waste of time. As soon as I powered the thing up, it offered me a dirt-cheap subscription to what's called the Free Time Service, and this is a huge collection of books and movies and apps that your kid can play for as long as you let them, with no extra charge. It's heavily curated, there are no in-app purchases, and it includes some games I've actually had my eye on, like the DuckTales remake. I got to play that for the first time. If it weren't for this, the iOS and Google Play stores alone have enough free educational games that a kid couldn't try them all in his entire lifetime. Kids can get online and find new games and learn how to win the ones they're playing, and if they're brave enough, they can learn how to make games on their own. Think about that. Kids for free with the devices they play can learn how to make games on those very same screens. Think of how crazy that is if you ever tried to teach yourself game development in years past. There's nothing a kid can't get at the push of a button now. But I think something is missing, and it definitely isn't coming back. I don't remember the very first video game I ever played. It might have been Pac-Man or something on the Atari. I remember once my dad spent hours punching a program into his Commodore 64 to get this graphics demo to run on it. He told me to come see it, and I lost my mind. I asked him if I could play with it, and his expression immediately changed, and he more or less told me to fuck off. I never once touched that computer, but that's beside the point. Eventually, my mom passed me down her Atari, and I think she had most of the games for it, and I later found out that several of her brothers and sisters also had their own Ataris. It was a weird detail about a family who was otherwise notoriously broke throughout history, but there they were playing Missile Command and Breakout. But there I was with my Atari. This was probably 91 or 92. It was already pretty late for the Atari, but it was getting me through some pretty weird stuff. There was turmoil when my dad's career took some weird turns and caused issues between my parents. There was tension when religious topics came up that they didn't agree on. There was loneliness when my dad moved us from town to town for different jobs. It got old, sure, but I understood gaming. I had control over it, and that became very important to me. Not long after that, my mom scored me a Nintendo Entertainment System. Mario, Duck Hunt, the Red Zapper, the works. I found out it wasn't possible for a kid to get so excited that he bursts into flames, because I would have. The initial shock of owning an NES took a long time to wear off, but if most of the Atari collection eventually got old, you can imagine how the original Super Mario Bros. Eventually left me wondering, what else is out there? I started kind of asking about game stores. I figured that was a thing, and I got reminded that we're broke. I asked my parents, what am I supposed to do? And my mom suggested that I start joining her and my grandmother for yard sales early each Saturday. And I did. So a few bucks at a time, I bought my way into this huge collection of NES games. I was selling them and trading them at our own yard sales, and I played my brains out on all these games. I played Contra and Kid Icarus, Blades of Steel, Base Wars. I played games that I didn't have the right peripherals for, like Gyromite with the robot operating buddy Rob. I played games that wouldn't make sense to me for years, like Mule. The old strategy game with the robot mules. One time I bought a power glove and realized when I got home that the plug didn't fit the system at all. I still have no idea why. I cut the cord off and I ran around with it on my hand, just to be cool. You have to understand, there were live-action commercials and cartoons at this time that exhibited this behavior. So I had, you know, the versatile know-how of Captain N without the letter jacket or the good hair. When my dad took off, I spent most of my time with my grandparents. This was a blessing that wasn't really in disguise. They lived in a nice neighborhood, and they took an interest in my sister and I. And I got to settle in at a middle-of-the-road public school district and meet a few friends in my neighborhood. I had the NES goods. The kid across the street had the Sega, and a friend down the hill had the Super Nintendo. We left no game unplayed. Even though I'd only bought one new game in a store in my entire life, and my dad convinced me to rebuy Pac-Man because he wanted to try it on the NES before he hit the road, so thanks, I was getting with friends to try NBA Jam and Mortal Kombat and Earthworm Jim and Sonic, Super Mario All-Stars, all the Capcom Disney games. When we weren't mashing buttons, we were reading every industry magazine one of our parents would let us buy, and trading stories about a kid who knows a guy who knows a dude who unlocked Shaq in NBA Jam by doing an on-fire dunk and breaking the backboard from half court, which I managed to recreate twice before declaring bullshit. And let's talk about video rental stores. This was a time when Blockbuster held nationwide video game tournaments that every kid in America was pretty sure they could win. I know most of us tried. If we weren't competing, we were walking up on Tuesdays to grab new releases, and we were back to try to grab them again at the end of the rental period on Saturday. If the right manager was in, we could dig through the return slot pile by the door. I don't know if there's a Schnucks grocery store where you are, but whatever you're drinking right now, pour just a little bit out in remembrance of the cheapest video game rentals in history. To this day, I'm not sure if that corporate office realized what video games even were. This was in addition to arcades, and the arcade cabinets that still made noise in Walmart and Pizza Hut all over the world. My grandpa fed me more money in quarters on that old Avengers game than I think he spent on his entire shopping list one time. This was unusual too, but I think he got something out of seeing me that excited. And it worked. I never forgot that. That's not my big arcade story, and I wanted to save this for a book one day, but it would be a lot easier to blurt it into this microphone, so here we go. There was a time when my mom dragged me several times a week to this Pentecostal church, and I say church in air quotes because they met at a Holiday Inn. I was 12 years old at the time, and I actually met my future wife there, but that's not what this particular story is about. Sorry, hon. I had this sort of troublesome friend at the church who did a lot of roaming around at this huge hotel, and he pulls me out of a service one day and says, "Check this out." He walks me down a few hallways into a huge indoor pool area with this really nice micro arcade set up in it, and my brain exploded. Suddenly, we're sneaking out of church services to hit the pool and play Mortal Kombat. To this day, the smell of chlorine makes me think about playing Mortal Kombat, which is a funny thing. That all ended when they paused a youth group service one night because we, quote, went missing. They figured it out and we were in deep shit, but those memories are priceless. And that's just it. Video games were these magical, elusive creatures at that time. And now I'm looking at a zip archive on a download site right now. It's about 10 gigs. You could fit it on a flash drive. You know what's on it? Every game I just talked about. The entire NES, SNES, and Genesis libraries. The entire arcade library, up to 2,000 or so, would not be much bigger. And legal issues aside, it's just sitting out there for whoever. My son doesn't just have unlimited choices from the modern age. He's got my entire past. My whole childhood at his fingertips, and he'll probably never look at it. But he's never going to feel the sense of wonder about it. The thrill of tracking down that hard-to-find game. He'll never swap games with a buddy down the street. He won't share urban legends about a confusing game with somebody at school. He'll play whatever he wants growing up, and it won't really mean anything to him. What else works this way? I'm sure you've thought of something by now. I also like video editing and trying to animate little cartoons, even though I'm a horrible artist. This didn't work as well before YouTube and all the free video hosting sites while we were wrestling with Flash and weird JavaScript loaders and stuff back then. I could name more, but ultimately I hope you'll look around at your passion projects. The software, the hardware, whatever you're loving and cursing all at the same time, and you think about it when you wake up and drift off wondering about how you're going to fix it in the morning, and just take a minute to appreciate that. Think of how far gone it's going to be in 10 or 20 years, and how foreign it's going to seem to your kid, or their kid, and you'll marvel at that technology, but you might just miss that magic. So that story wasn't intended to be a downer. I think maybe it probably came out that way. So let me finish off by telling you about something kind of nice, kind of uplifting I experienced today. I was on Twitter. I know you guys have different feelings about that. I'm sure I have different feelings within my own self about Twitter, but that's where I was today. I see somebody reshare somebody's tweet that said, "Oh man, 5 followers away from 1,000. And I noticed this is a game studio account, or at least one user who develops games. So as a developer myself, and with a little bit of a following, I followed him and said, "Yeah, here I am, 4 away." And joked around. I said, "Oh yeah, I'll unfollow. Now you're 5 away again. I'm just kidding." But then just a gesture of goodwill, I reshared it on my account and said, "Hey, what can we do for this guy?" And he actually ended up hitting his goal of 1,000 followers later that day, based on, I think, probably 4 of my friends. And he private messages me. He says, "Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate that." And I said, "Hey, you caught me at the right time, man. Tell me, what are you working on? Is it something cool? Let me know." He says, "Yeah, I'm working on this first-person horror game, scary movie style, that kind of thing." I said, "Okay, that's cool. I used to run a blog with a buddy who's a huge horror fan. Shout out to my buddy Ray, if you're listening." And he says, "Would you like to see the trailer for this thing?" And I said, "Oh, you got a trailer? Yeah, let's see your trailer." He shows it to me, and it looks decent. It looks like a sort of a PlayStation-era Resident Evil type thing with sort of an interesting story started. There wasn't much to it in terms of what the gameplay is going to look like, stuff like that. But it's coming along. And I said, hey, man, it looks great. You know, congratulations on this. And he says, thanks so much. You know, it's hard. It's hard doing the programming and the, you know, this and that. It's really tricky. And I said, yeah, I know, man. Ever since I got started, this stuff is just ninja magic that you learn. And it's awesome once you know what goes into these projects. And he said something like, yeah, man, not bad for my first year out of high school. And I was just blown away, because for all the changes we've had, and as hard as I worked to get into game development myself, he's further along than I am. To this day, I'm 30 years old, and 1 year after high school, he's really close to going on Steam Greenlight and trying to get his project through into the store. And it's awesome. It's awesome that these changes have made it so readily possible for a young person like that to pursue their dream. Now, I don't know what else he's doing. He's probably working full time or attending college, whatever the case may be. But man, you know, it's all worth it. if the changes that we've made have made it this much easier for people to pursue their passion projects, whatever they are. And I know you guys have different stories about, I taught myself programming, I got into networking, you know, I've been hacking around with this and that, and, you know, learned electronics and things like that. And it's so impressive that every bit of this stuff is worth it. That's all I got. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was a lot of fun. I would really consider doing this again if you guys enjoy it. Feel free to float a topic to me if it's related to what you've heard today or what you've heard about my background. If you have interest, you can follow me on Twitter at MechaToddZilla with 1D, 2 L's. You can follow my professional blog at CodeWritePlay.com. And I'm always happy to interact with you guys. I'm not hard to get a hold of because this is my job. And I also contribute to a couple of other podcasts. My friends over at SadPod, SAHDpod.com, stay-at-home dad. A great group of guys, sort of a collective that puts out different shows. So check them out, give them a listen. My buddies and I at OHC Play, which you can find through CodeWritePlay.com, we'll be playing new games every once in a while, new or old games that we want to play, talk about the news of the day in the game industry, and play around and have a good time. So thanks again so much, everybody, and stay tuned for more shows from Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.